want to thank you for your warm reception tonight. I believe it was Brother Leroy Brownlow who used to say that a cold church is like cold butter, hard to spread. So I want to say to you, I appreciate all the smiles that I've received by arriving here, and I'm so humbled by Brad and the leadership of this church to invite me to do something that I haven't done probably in the last 25 years. The last tent meeting I remember conducting was in Rosebud, Texas. That's down by Temple, Texas. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But back in the day, we just had a hallelujah time. And I noticed some of you are part of the AARP crowd, so amen. You know what I'm talking about. And it's quite a blessing to be able to be a part of that crowd. I was telling somebody the other day, when you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you get your drinks free. You didn't know that. You might try it out. So it's good to be here. And just to come to Goshen and Elkhart, you know, my wife and I, we've been married 44 years, and thank God that she's had a lot of prayer to put up with me. And I'm so glad that we're here, and she just, if it weren't for her, I wouldn't be a member of the Church of Christ tonight. And I always tell the guys that, and girls, when you're looking for a wife, you need to find out if they love the Lord, love the Bible, and if they don't, you tell them to hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. But I want you to know, when that little place in Temple, Oklahoma, you've never heard of it, I'm sure, but people have heard of Temple, Texas. But Temple, Oklahoma, I'm so glad that I got married twice on the same day. Married to Christ in the morning and married to her in the afternoon. And it's been a blessing to my life, and I thank God for her. So she's sitting right over here to my left, been a great support of mine many, many years. So I think the Bible says somewhere, if you find a good wife, that's a good thing, isn't it? Somewhere in Proverbs.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, brother. So man, you guys are really wise. That's good. That's good. And of course, I'm happy to have the best son-in-law in the world. The best son-in-law in the world. Marvin is just tremendous. We just love him so much. And of course, I only have one daughter, and that's Antherica. And she has just been a blessing to us, and she continues to be a blessing, and loves the Lord and her family. And I think that's my amen, brother. He was saying amen a few minutes ago. Come on, man. You're going to say amen now. You got to stay with me, okay? But it's great. And just to come and see Lachelle. I'll get started here in a minute. Lachelle is here, and good to see her as well. She is just such a smart girl. 4 years old, and she's already reading. Isn't that wonderful? No, keep up the good work. I appreciate that so much. Well, it's good to be here tonight and just have a full house. That's commendable. That's great. And we didn't bring anything tonight but the Bible. I like that song you sung, Give Me the Bible. That's a great song, and I'm glad that you sang that song tonight for me as well. And in the old days, we used to say, we hope you brought your Bible and you brought your pencils with you. We got some Bibles over here if you need one. I say we don't have the technology set up that we usually put the scriptures on the board. But if you're visiting and you're a guest tonight, we want you to know we're going to show you a lot of love. This is a meeting about investigation. It's a meeting about searching the scriptures. And then this week, we're going to do everything we possibly can to give you what the Bible says. And I'm going to be speaking under the umbrella each night. My subject will be the Bible and the commandments of men. The Bible and the commandments of men. I want to let you know tonight, there was a time when it didn't bother me what I believed or where I went to church. But after learning what the Bible says, I learned that there's the commandments of men in there is what the Bible says. And so we're going to be comparing that. Because on the day of judgment, when all is said and done, we're going to face what God's Word has to say. Amen. So we hope and pray that you will be honest and that you will be encouraged and stimulated to want to study the Bible. Now we, as members of the Church of Christ, believe that we need to teach and preach the truth in love. We don't want anybody to be lost. We want to be saved. The Bible says, I believe in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. And so what that means is, not only do you come every Sunday and hear the word, but you need to be just like the church in the book of Acts. The Bible said the Jerusalem church, they were all together. And in the 8th chapter, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. Now, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the members of the church went everywhere spreading the word. And so we hope and pray tonight and the few lessons to come that we will give you some ideas, some approaches that you might discuss the scripture with your friends and your loved ones, because we want everybody to be saved. We believe that the Bible, if one obeys it, it will save him. I remember reading in James, the first chapter, in verse 21, where it says, wherefore lay upon all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Will you repeat that, please? Which is able to save your soul. One more time. Which is able to save your soul. By Sunday evening, we'll be right on the same page, okay? We'll be in sync. So I want you to know that I believe that with all of my heart, that you need to know the scriptures and you need to be able to think. Every time you come to Bible study, every time you come to worship, what can I learn to talk to my friends and my neighbors about the Bible? People want to learn what the Bible says, and they may talk to you when they want talk to me, because it's so important. I remember, I've had to kind of change my style of preaching a little bit, but back in the old days, we used a lot of scriptures in the tent meeting, and that's probably what I'll do here this week, is use a lot of scriptures, but boy, it makes it easy sometimes when you can just go to one chapter and take three verses and talk about Paul's fight, talk about his finish, and talk about, and his faith. Y'all remember that where Paul said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, I finished my course. So when you go and you talk about his fight, his faith, and his finish, that's a great sermon, and we need to know that. And so I want to say to you tonight that I do hope you've come with a sincere desire to be challenged and think about what the Bible said. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 48, the Bible says, Marvin, don't get too comfortable because I might have you to read one in a minute, okay? I got to keep my son-in-law awake. He's really alert. John, the 12th chapter, verse number 48, the Bible says, he that rejecteth me, Jesus said that, and receiveth not my words, hath won the judging. The words that I've spoken shall judge him in the last day. My friends, the Bible is the standard. The Bible is what we're going to be judged by. It's going to be God's word that we're going to have to be given account of. I don't know how many years you might live, but I know one thing for sure. Every day that you live, God has given you a chance to obey him. No wonder Jesus said in Luke, the 6th chapter, and verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We need to do that. We need to know that. Marvin, I think I'll get you started right off right quick. Will you turn to Revelation, the 20th chapter? And verse number 12. Because sometimes we quote these scriptures, but sometimes you need to know that they're in your Bible too. Remember preaching somewhere a long time ago and was really trying to make that point, Brother Matthew, about what the Word says. And I said, in your Bible, the old lady jumped up in the back. She said, no, preacher, it's not in my Bible because I've already cut it out. So we know it's in the Bible. But as I said in Revelation, the 20th chapter, what does the Bible say in verse number 12?
And I saw the dead.
And I saw the dead.
Small and great.
Small and great.
Stand before God.
Stand before God.
And the books were open.
And the books were open.
And another book was open.
And another book was open.
Which is the book of life.
Which is the book of life.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books.
And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book.
According to their works.
According to their works. And so I say to you individually and personally, God's word is going to be open on that day. You're going to be judged by what it says. Not what I feel, not what I think, but what the book says. And so this week we want to challenge you. On one hand, we want to compare the Bible to the commandments of men. We want to see what the Bible says. In other words, we want to connect the dots. We want to make sure you understand what the word says. And I believe the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are indeed you are disqualified? So the Bible is right. And what we want people to know today, as plain as we possibly can, we don't want to try to use a vocabulary that they don't understand. We want to make the word so simple that they can see that the Bible says what we ought to obey, and that when it comes to the commandments of men, we can do it any way we want to do it. But we're only going to be saved by what God says. And so that's my approach. Back in the day, we used to quote a scripture, and you remember this saying, well, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. We call Bible things by Bible names. Now, the old people remember those things, but I believe that principle still needs to be applied today. I believe today people need to be concerned about, is it in the Bible? People coming up to me sometimes saying, God told me. If God told you that, why can't I read it in the Bible? That's nothing wrong with me asking you, find the scripture, find the place where it is written, because people are believing everything, and that's what we're going to be able to challenge you about. And so we need to make sure that we clearly understand. And so people come up in the church acting like you're at Burger King. They come up in the church wanting to have it their way, you know, have it your way, you know. You know, I know I like going to Burger King. You can tell I've probably gone too often. But going to Burger King is nice. When I go to Burger King, having it my way, I like to have a big Whopper with tomatoes and lettuce and ketchup and onions. But my wife, she has a smaller burger with no onions. But that just doesn't seem to get me, so I have to hurry up and go brush my teeth so I won't be messing up the car. But have it your way. This is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. When I got ready to come here, I could have said, well, I'll catch a plane over to South Bend, or I can catch a Greyhound bus. But no, I took the car here, and we had a nice ride here. But when it comes to God's word, man can do it his way, but you got to do it God's way. And that's what we want to challenge you to keep before people when you talk to them about the word of God. It's God's way and not our way. Brother Marvin, will you turn to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and we're going to start reading at verse number 6. Now, while he's turning to Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9, I believe it is, I want you to write down Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah, I'm still talking about this way now. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And so you need to look to God for guidance and direction. And you might feel like you do that, but before we finish this meeting, we want to put some things that you believe to test. We want to compare the Bible to the commandments of men, or the commandments of men to the Bible, and see what it says. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and verse number 6, what does the Bible say?
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Uh-huh.
Call ye upon him while he is near.
Uh-huh.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
And then,
go ahead.
And then righteous man.
We're going to get this down. You see, the wicked has its way. People have their way. And you all you have to do is watch the news these days. Read the magazines. Read the papers. People are doing what's right in their own eyes. They're coming up what they think is right. They left what God says, and it's all about what man thinks and what man feels. I want to say to you, when you face God on the day of judgment, it's going to be about what's written in this book, not what man says. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so you might say, that preacher just really believes the Bible. That's the only thing I have. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will stand forever. And we need to love and respect it. Continue on, Brother Marvin.
And the unrighteous man in his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts.
There it is. For my thoughts
are not your thoughts.
Are not your thoughts.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Yes.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways.
All right. And who are we without little puny intelligence? I know many of us intellectuals, we got a high IQ, and we have a great vocabulary. But you don't impress God when you try to replace your intelligence and your wisdom to what the simple word of God says. What God says is very, very, very important. Read.
And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven.
Yes.
And returneth not neither. Sorry, not thither. But watereth the earth.
Yes.
And maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater.
All right. So in that King James Version, it's just really rough these days. Because we've been used to using a more contemporary version. And I don't have any problem with that. You know, the main thing, I just don't want us to change what the Bible says. Not that I think King James is the version that Jesus used. I just believe it was written in Koine Greek, and we need to go back to see what the original said to the best of our ability. That's why when we're reading the Bible, I like to read what the King James said, what the NASB said, what the other translations have to say, and that helps me get a better understanding, because I want to be right when I stand before God. If you want to be right when you stand before God, will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You see, I know how to ask for the amen lights. That's what I'm saying. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, as I try to impress upon my loved ones, my relatives, it's not about me. It's God's word that we've got to be concerned about what we're obeying. I remember reading somewhere in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse number 11, the Bible says, and these were more noble or fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they searched. What they search, church?
Scripture.
Ah, some of you all read your Bible. What they search?
Scripture.
Search the Scripture. For they search the Scripture to see whether these things were so. And so that's what we're saying. Churches of Christ, we are trying to do our best to base our belief on what the Scripture said. Now, if they search the Scriptures behind Paul and Peter and John, why shouldn't they search the Scriptures behind Edmerson and Brad and Rob? Is that the preacher of Will Devin Ryan? Right? Yeah. Search the Scripture behind us. We have no problem with that, because we're all learning. And if we make a mistake, we want you to show us based on the Scripture that we have misapplied the Scripture, or we have taught the Scripture in error. Because if you teach error and you follow error, what's going to happen to you? Well, somebody looking at me kind of strange. Let's see what the Bible says is going to happen to you. Turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter, and verse number 14. I believe it is. And every once in a while, sometimes preachers miss those scriptures, but the Bible says in Matthew 15th chapter, and verse number 14, I believe it is, that if the blind lead the blind, is that what it says?
Yeah.
And I like what it said. It said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. So you can't say, well, this is what my pastor said, or this is what my mama said, or this is what my dad. No, in all respect to your pastor, in all respect to your mom, we ain't talking about your mom tonight. We're talking about God's word. All we're saying is that if your preacher's wrong, if your mom's wrong, if your dad's wrong, and you follow them, you're going to be lost. We don't like to say that these days, but it's the truth. I'd rather for you to tell me now than me stand before God and he began to judge me based on God's word. And he said, Lord, I just love my family so much, I just believe that they were right. We need to search the scripture behind mama, daddy, preacher, elder, deacon, everybody. Amen? We're not trying to get you to be mean, uncooperative. We're just saying, when you have the Bible and you have the commandments of men, people, the majority, want to follow the commandments of men and not follow the Bible. And I'm showing you in just a few minutes, things are changing right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. And so we've got to make up our mind. That may be what the government says, but my Bible says this. We ought to obey God rather than whom? Man. Rather than man. We got to search the scripture. Not what Martin Luther said. Not what John Wesley said. Not what John Calvin said. Not what Billy Graham said. Not what T.D. Jakes said. And certainly not the new Pope. No, I know he's changing things, isn't he? I just hope he gets people back to the Bible. And we'll be pleased with what the Bible said. Well, I'd like for you to turn in your Bible, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 15 through 16. This is very important scripture. Whenever I'm talking to my friends, I want them to see that my discussion, my study, when we reason together, it's based on Scripture. Scripture is very, very important. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, and from a child, I love seeing these children under the Word, in church, in Bible school, in infancy. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, all Scripture, not some of it, but all Scripture, is given by the inspiration of God. It came out of the mouth of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Scriptures are designed to equip the members of the church to be so busy they don't have time to get in trouble with beating up on the elders and beating up on the preacher. Somebody else say amen up in here. But I know there are no perfect churches of Christ. But God knows and he tells us how we should operate and how we should conduct ourselves in the church. Now notice she said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? That means God breathed. It came out of the mouth of God. And when I'm talking with a person that's new from them to see the Word of God, I try to use Scripture to explain Scripture. You need to remove yourself and let Scripture speak. And if a person can read and they can understand, they can read themselves into the truth. I don't believe God gave us a book we cannot understand. We've just got to be patient in helping people to understand the Scripture. And so it came out of the mouth of God. Well, how do I prove that? I turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse number 4. Marvin, will you read that one for me? Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse number 4. And I want you to see something about where the Scripture came from. Matthew 4 and 4.
But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Scripture came from God. Man, I just love the Bible. If we study it and really labor and looking at, we can see how that God gave the word to Christ, and Christ gave it to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit gave it to us what we have today. This is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. I love the scripture, John the 12th chapter, verse 48. Let's go back there, Mark. And I want you to read that through verse 50, where you can see what God's word is all about. Whenever I'm talking with my friends, and they come up with a teaching, that's what doctrine means, a teaching that's not in the Bible, I just ask them, show me in the Bible where it teaches that. And we'll probably be talking about that, because some of my friends don't believe you have to be baptized to be saved. Haven't you heard that? Well, I try to get them to show me. It's possible for you to have the wrong understanding of the scripture. But if you put the scriptures together and you rightly divide the word, you cannot get around seeing that you have to be baptized to be saved. And if you don't believe that, come back to this meeting and we'll clearly show you that so that you can see it. In John the 12th chapter, verse 48, what's the Bible say?
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
All right. Now watch closely the verses that follow there. For years I've just read verse 44. You know, we've been guilty of that sometimes. We just get one scripture and run with it. But I think we ought to read the whole content, read the scripture. What's the verse, next verse say?
For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Amen. You see, for Jesus got his, it was from the Father. He gave it to him. And then he spoke it. And that's clear for me to see. And so today, as a preacher of the gospel, I've got to give you what Paul said. Well, prove that, preacher. Turn to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse number 2. I want you to see something. It's not my word. It's God's word. It's what I've been taught when I read the Bible. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in verse 2. I want you to see the progression of how this works. I want you to see how that Amway didn't come up with this duplication process. God's word came up with it, because I see in that verse four generations of teaching the word. That's why as members of the church, we got to keep learning so we can teach the word. We got to keep reproducing ourselves. For years in the church, the Bible said in Matthew 28, go and baptize people. Go and teach people. But if you read it in other versions in Matthew 20, it says go and make disciples. What I really believe is we need more disciples in this church. We need people, more people that will reproduce themselves. And the church can grow. The church in Goshen wants to grow. The church in Willdale wants to grow. Well, if every one of you start teaching, I believe the church can double next year. Amen.
Amen.
What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy 2 and 2?
And the things that thou hast heard of me.
Paul said, and the things which you've heard of me.
Among many witnesses. The same commit.
Just what you want to teach. Isn't that what he said?
The same.
You mean I got to teach the same thing? The same thing that Paul taught. I can't change it, right?
No.
I mean, I may not like that, what you teaching, Paul. I got to teach the same thing?
The same.
Read.
The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be.
Faithful men are reliable men, and I really believe that applies to women too. They need to be reliable and faithful. Read.
Who shall be able to teach others also.
Y'all see that? That's how the church can grow. When you, Paul, taught Timothy, Timothy taught faithful men, and faithful men taught others. That's four generations. That's how the church can grow. And we need to spend our time learning how to do that. Some of us can plant, and some of us can water. And my wife and I are a great team. I mean, I'm the planter, but she's the water. You talking about that girl can cook? Ooh. me. All I have to do is that I'm planting a seed with somebody say, come on over. Sister Emerson got a fine meal waiting for us. And they love coming because she's a good cook. Well, whenever I baptized that person, I didn't do it by myself. She helped me with that good lemon pie. I can't eat banana pudding anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's the AARP crowd. Lord, help him, Jesus. But I'm saying, we got to work together. So some of you are good in hospitality. That's what we need. Some of you are good at sitting down and explaining the scripture. Man, I love coming to hear Brad preach. I love hearing Rob preach. Man, these are great preachers and teachers of the word. And you need to be trying to learn that so you can take it to people that will never put their foot inside of the church so they can learn God's word. All right, so much of that. So as we look at the Bible, what are you talking about? The Bible and the doctrine of men. Well, time will keep me going, but I want you to know something that the Bible talks about. We need to, 1 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine or healthy doctrine. That has happened to this day. I believe in 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. My brothers and sisters, we're living at that time today. What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about the Bible and the commandments of men. The Bible and the commandments of men. Right quickly, in the 15th chapter of the book of Mark, verse 9. The 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'm sorry, verse 9. The Bible says, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Anything that's vain is empty, it's worthless. People are teaching doctrines and commandments of men. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So whatever the commandments of men are, and when I compare it to what the Bible says, I am going to accept what the Bible says over what man says every day and every time. Because there are all kind of doctrines going on out there today. And we need to keep that in mind. But let me just say in the last few minutes I got here that there's a person called the devil that's constantly trying to get people to disobey God. In 2 Corinthians 11:13, 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. So, Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. He deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Satan is still deceiving people today. They're getting people to take their eyes off the Word of God and put it on what men say. Let me give you a few examples of that right quickly. Y'all got a turn?
Yeah.
Amen. 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 So when it comes to this subject, this is a hot button issue in these days. Can women be preachers in the church? We read about it in the Bible. Can women? I'm asked that sometimes. I look at the commandments of men, and I look at what the Bible says. I say that's a good question. Let's look at what the Bible says. Do you have an example? Do you have an inference? Can you tell me? What does the Bible say? And most times, people don't want to see what the Bible says. So well, let me say, show you here. Here's why I don't think a woman can be a preacher. Turn to Titus, the 2nd chapter. And verse 15. Titus, the 2nd chapter, verse 15. In Titus, 2nd chapter, verse 15. Excuse me. it says to the preacher, speak the things, exhort and rebuke with how much authority?
All
authority. Let no one despise you. Now, if you're going to be a preacher, you got to get your authority from the scripture, and you got to do it with all authority. But when you read now 1 Timothy 2, let's turn to 1 Timothy 2. I want you to see something. These are usually the two scriptures I use with people. The commandments of men and the Bible. The Bible says if you're going to preach, you need to speak with all authority. But in 1 Timothy 2, he tells the preacher, he says that, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Verse 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, Paul just told the preacher to preach with all authority. But he's telling the woman, you can't have authority over the man. The Bible or the commandments of men. Which are you going to follow? You've got to make a choice. With me, I'm going to stick with what the Bible said. When he chose the preachers to preach in the church that we read about in the Bible, they were all men. Nothing wrong with being a woman or the sisters, because in our churches, if it weren't for the women, we wouldn't have very big churches we have today. They used to say, one of our old preachers used to say, if all the women left the church, he'd just have one more sermon. Fare ye well, brothers. Some of you may remember Brother Keeble that used to say that, Brother Matthew. But I'm saying, this is an example. Now, when it gets down to this, people get real tense. But if you keep them on saying, is it the Bible or the commandments of men? When it comes to preaching, you got to preach with all authority. God puts limitations on women so they can't preach. I noticed that your worship service is led by men. They lead all the prayers. Well, what does the Bible say about it? The commandments of men says it's all right for women to lead prayer in public worship. But what does the Bible say? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8. You have it for me, Brother Marvin? 1 Timothy 2:8. Boy, I'm working them out tonight.
That's okay.
That's all right.
I will therefore that men pray everywhere.
Men who pray?
Men pray.
And where should they pray?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Yeah. Now, I believe women need to pray. But when it's a mixed audience, we don't have women praying in the public worship. Can y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Or make sure I'm in the right church.
Amen.
Some sisters can pray a lot better than some of us, and I do ask them to pray. But when it comes to the public worship, we're not going to ask a sister in the assembly to lead the prayer. But the commandments of men say that's okay. They say that's okay. I'm talking about the Bible and the commandments of men. One more thing right quickly. Why don't you call the preacher reverend? It's just a term of respect and endearment. The commandments of men and the Bible. Well, let's go to the Bible. What were the preachers called? In Acts the 9th chapter, verse 17. Brother Marvin, can you get that for me, please? Acts the 9th chapter, verse 17. What does the Bible say? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Just get your friends. Let's find it in the Bible. We're going to compare what the Bible says with what the doctrine of the commandments of men say. The commandments of men, Mark 7 and 7, in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. Now, Acts 9 and verse 17, what does the Bible say?
And Ananias went his way and entered into the house.
Uh-huh.
And putting his hands on him said,
uh-huh.
Brother Saul.
No, Reverend Saul.
Brother Saul.
He said, Brother Saul?
Brother Saul.
Brother Saul, not Reverend Saul. That's okay.
Brother Saul.
Time is fleeting. Let's run to Acts 22 and verse 13. Brother Saul. Commandments of men or the Bible? Oh, why are you making a big deal over this? It doesn't have anything to do with salvation, is what they say. Well, my Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:2, don't add to or take away from God's word. Am I right about that? Yeah. Revelation 22:18, don't add to or take away from God's word. In Acts 22, verse 13, what does the Bible say?
Came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul.
Reverend Saul.
Brother Saul.
Reverend Saul. I don't know why your Bible is messed up. I love you, man. What do you call it?
Brother Saul.
Brother Saul. So that's why they call me Brother John. I got Bible for that. Well, the Bible says Reverend. Turn to Psalms 111 and verse 9, I believe it is. Psalms 111, verse 9. Now, what does the Bible say? And what does the commandments of men say? Men says it's all right to call me Reverend. Psalms 111, verse 9 says, he sent redemption unto his people. Reverend and holy is his name. That's what the King James word. That's the only place we have that word reverend. But if you read it in other versions, it would say, awesome Brad. Awesome Rob. Yeah, that's what that word really means. So awesome John. No! That's what God has said. We're not supposed to call a person these titles. We need to be careful about giving names. If I had time, I'd keep working on it. When you read Matthew 23, he says, people want to be called rabbi. But he said, don't call anybody rabbi or... I'll start saying rabbi. Lord, forgive me. But here's what I'm saying. He's saying, don't call no man father upon the earth. And I really believe he meant in a spiritual sense that you don't have a right to call any man father upon the earth in a spiritual sense. There's one father. God is your father. That's so important. Amen. We've got to do, the Bible says, and not the commandments of men. That's so very important. I had another good point. It just slipped away. Oh, Job, the 32nd chapter. In the old days, we used to use this. You got to read this one, Brother Mark. Job, the 32nd chapter. And I believe it's around verse 21. Some of you preachers, the old preachers, y'all remember when we used to use all those scriptures like that? It's easy when you look at the Bible and the commandments of men. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Romans 15 and 4. So what they say in the old times? Job, the 32nd chapter, and I believe it is verse 21. What does the Bible say?
Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man.
Flattering titles unto men.
For I know not to give flattering titles.
Awesome brand. That just sounds good, right? All right, Reverend, go ahead.
If so doing, my maker would soon take me away.
Take me away. So that's why you call us brother, or you call us by our first name, or you call us by our last name. This is what does the Bible say, and what does the commandments of men say? Now, I think what I've done tonight is cause you to be able to think about what you believe and why you believe it. I think tonight I'm causing you to see that you need to compare what you believe with what the Bible says. And that's what we're going to be doing this meeting. We got a few other things that we want to compare. Here's what the Bible teaches. Let the commandments of men say something else. Just talked to a lady the other day. And I said, what you doing? She said, well, I'm trying to become an elder. You trying to become an elder? When I read the Bible, it says, that's the position or work of a man, not a woman. But read the Bible. But she set on becoming an elder in her church. Well, see, there are some churches, they have it their way. They do whatever they want to do. But I'm saying to you, you might be accused of being narrow and small-minded
But you in love say, I got to go with what the Bible says, not what the commandments of men say. I know what John Wesley said, but what does the Bible say?
God will be pleased with that. Is that all right, y'all?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we say to you tonight, come back tomorrow night. We want to go a little bit further because we want to talk about some other things about the commandments of men, what they have to say about speaking in tongues and instrumental music and the one church. We want to see what does the Bible say. Compare what the Bible says to the commandments of men. Now, don't be ashamed to bring your guests. I'm gonna be kind and loving. I just want them to think. And you love them so much. You don't want them to stand and say, you never mentioned this to me because I was afraid I'd lose your friendship. You tell them. So tonight, when it comes to being saved, the Bible says you got to hear God's word, you got to believe it, you got to repent of your sins, you got to confess, and you got to be baptized. Can y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
That's what the Bible. The man says, just accept the Lord Jesus in your heart, and you'll be saved. What are you going to do? The commandments of men or the Bible? Tonight,
the Bible.
Amen. So if you're here tonight, will you come as we together stand and sing?